Amen. I don't know if you've noticed, but there's a problem. There's an epidemic that's sweeping our nation. It's an epidemic of violence, of hatred, and of murder. With the recent tragedy here in our own community this past week, a lot of people are wondering why. Why did this happen? What on earth would make a young man, a straight A student on the dean's list, getting ready to graduate, having his whole life before him, what would make a 20-year-old young man walk onto his college campus with a shotgun, with a rifle, and take another man's life? Listen, this isn't a scene from a movie. This is happening in our city, right here in our community. There is violence and there is murder everywhere. Just last week, I found out that a young lady who used to attend this church years ago, I just found out she's being accused of killing her own father. A week before that, we had a shooting right by in a local elementary school. Listen, there is violence and murder all around us. We read it in the newspapers. We see it on TV. Sometimes we just have to walk out the front door in the morning. Last year, my wife and I were living in an apartment complex right here in Goldsboro in what we thought was a safe neighborhood. But one morning, we walk out the front door, and a woman had been shot in our apartment complex in our parking lot not far from where we parked our cars. It's no wonder that the FBI just ranked Goldsboro as the fifth most dangerous city in North Carolina and fourth in violent crime. It's worse than Durham, worse than Charlotte, and worse than Raleigh. Things are bad, and they're getting worse, not only in our city, but across this nation. In the face of all of this death and all of this violence, people are asking, why is this happening? And if you're wondering why, I'll tell you why this morning. There's a war going on. You see, we're living in the middle of a war zone. This is not a war between opposing nations. It's not a war between neighboring tribes. This is not a war being fought over land and resources. This is a war being fought over the souls of men and women. This is a war between the spirit of God and the spirit of this world. I'm talking about a war between good and evil. And I know that we live in a culture that doesn't believe in evil anymore. And we're surrounded by a culture where truth is relative and morality has become a matter of opinion. People in our culture today say what's right for you might not be right for me. And what's wrong for you might not be wrong for me. You see, I'll do me and you do you, and we'll just live however we want to live. That's what our culture says, but I came here to tell you this morning that there is such a thing as absolute truth. Truth is not based on the opinions of man. Truth is not based on popular culture, and it's not based on what's trending on Twitter. Truth is based on one thing and one thing only, and that is the very word of God himself. The Bible is more than just a book. The Bible is our code of conduct. It's our rules for living. The Bible is our light in a world full of darkness. And I don't care what our culture says, there is such a thing as good and evil. There is such a thing as right and wrong. There is such a thing as sin and righteousness. And there is such a thing as the truth of God in the lives of the enemy. God is good. The devil is bad. Heaven is for real. And hell is too. And people are saying, man, that's outdated. This is 2015. This is not 1945. Let me tell you something. Truth has no expiration date. If it was true then, it's true today. What was true 1,000 years ago will be true 1,000 years from now. David said in Psalm 119, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. But people don't want to hear that anymore. They want to live the way that they choose to live. They've rejected God and they've rejected his word, and you wonder why the world around us is falling apart. Paul told Timothy, he said, know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal or violent, despisers of good, traitors and headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, Listen, that sounds a lot like the world we live in today. We are living in perilous times. And I want you to tell somebody, let them know there's a war going on. Come on, tell somebody there's a war going on. Listen to my words this morning. The devil is not a myth. The devil is real. He's real and he is the enemy of your soul, and he wants nothing more than to destroy your life and the lives of those you love. Listen, I love to tell people the good news that God has a plan for their life. And that's true. God has a plan for everyone's life, for your life and my life. God has a plan for you. And I love to say that. In fact, I put it up on a sign in our parking lot. The Word of God says in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Listen, God wants the best for your life, and God has good plans for you. But listen to me, mark my words. God is not the only one making plans. The devil has plans for your life too. He has plans for you. He has plans for your marriage and plans for your children and plans for your mind and plans for your soul. What are the devil's plans for your life? Jesus tells us in John 10:10 that the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. But then Jesus went on to say that I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So the devil comes to destroy, but God comes to bring life. And on one side, you have what God wants for your life, and on the other side, you have what the devil wants for your life. And here's what I want you to understand today. The devil is actively at work in the world. 1 Peter 5:8 warns us, "Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour." There is more going on in this world than just human actions. The Bible tells us in 1 John 5:19 that the whole world is under the influence of the evil one. When I think about what happened this week and the week before that, when I think about what happened at Sandy Hook Elementary School in 2012, when a 20-year-old boy massacred 20 innocent children and 7 adults. Listen, psychology can't explain that. I am thoroughly convinced, I truly believe, that you can't learn how to be that evil and be that bad in just 20 years. He had only been talking for 17, and here he was on a murderous rampage. Let me tell you something. You can't learn how to be that bad all by yourself. You got to have help from somebody else. And let me tell you where that help is coming from. There is demonic power at work in this generation. The Bible calls it the spirit of this world and the spirit of Antichrist. You don't kill your neighbors over parking dispute. You don't murder innocent children because you didn't get enough attention growing up. Listen, psychology has no explanation for what's going on. Some people say, well, poverty leads to violence. Well, does it? I don't know about you, but my family came up poor, but we didn't kill anybody. Listen, some people blame the economy. They say, well, only if there were more opportunities, only if we could create more jobs, we wouldn't see all of this violence. Listen, I know what it's like to lose a job. I know what it's like to go without work. And I promise you that at no point during that time in my life did I go out and murder anybody. Violence is on the rise, and psychology doesn't have the answer. The media doesn't have the explanation. The experts can't explain it, but let me explain it to you this morning. There's a war going on around us. The devil is real, and he's waging war against humanity. And I'm going to tell you three ways that the devil is waging war. Very quickly, number one, he's waging war on the family. He's waging war on the family. Did you know that the family is the first institution that God ever established? Long before there was ever a church, long before there was ever a government or a corporation, God established the family. It's the first thing that he created, and it's no coincidence that the family is the first thing that the enemy goes after. Why? Because he knows that if he can destroy the family, he can destroy every other institution in society. And where does the enemy start his assault? He starts with the one that God has called to be the spiritual leader of the household. You see, the devil goes after the fathers first. Some people say we need to go back to the America of our founding fathers, but I say this morning, where are the fathers in America today? The enemy is attacking the family, and far too many fathers are walking away. Too many men are spending money on themselves and not even supporting their own children. Let me tell you, that's something that God takes very seriously. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 5:8 that if you don't take care of your own children, you're worse than an infidel and you have denied the faith. Children are precious in the sight of God, and they'd be better be precious in our sight too. Jesus said in Mark 9:23, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he was thrown into the sea. Listen, this is serious business to God. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you're listening on the internet. Maybe you have failed in this area. Let me help you out this morning. Tying a millstone around your neck and jumping in the Atlantic Ocean is not the solution to the problem. Let me tell you what the answer is. Maybe you're not being a good father. Start today. Start today. Repent before God. Ask God to forgive you and ask Him to help you be a better father. Put your priorities back where they belong, sir. Look, you want to be a man? I'll tell you how to be a man. Real men lead the way to church on Sunday morning. Real men say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Real men aren't ashamed to lift up their hands and get on their knees before an almighty God and worship. Real men understand there's a war going out and the enemy is after my family. And if I'm going to be a man, I'm going to stand up and defend them in Jesus' name. We got any real men in the house? Y'all just wave at me this morning. God bless you. Hallelujah. The devil is assaulting our families. A lifestyle magazine recently did an in-depth study of communities across North Carolina, and they made an interesting observation about Goldsboro. They found that the work week in Goldsboro is significantly longer than the average work week in the U.S. and that the divorce rate here is the highest in the state. They noted that families in our community are at risk because people consistently put their careers before their families. I heard the story about a father. He came home from work one day. He had a long, stressful day at work, and he walked in the door, and his son looked up at him. His little boy said, "Daddy, how much money do you make an hour?" And the man immediately got angry and said, "Son, how dare you ask me how much I make an hour? Isn't it enough that I put food on the table and provide for you? I can't believe you would ask me that. That's none of your business." And his son looked it up and he said, "But Daddy, I didn't mean anything by it. I just want to know." He said, "Well, if you have to know, I make $20 an hour." Then he said, "Well, Daddy, can I have $10? And he looked at him and he said, "I knew it. I knew that you wanted something. I can't believe you asked me that just to get me to give you money. I can't believe you would do that. You know what? You can go to bed without dinner tonight. Just go to your room." The little boy was brokenhearted, but he said, "Yes, sir." And he went down the hallway to his bedroom. And the man sat down and he began to feel bad and feel guilty that he took his stress out on his son. He began to feel bad for being so harsh. So he walked down the hallway and he opened the door. And he said, "Buddy, are you still awake?" And he heard sniffling in the background. He said, "Yes, Daddy, I'm still awake." So he sits down on the edge of the bed and he says, "Son, I'm so sorry. Daddy had a bad day at work, and I didn't mean to take it out on you. In fact, here are the $10 that you asked me for." He said, "Oh, thank you, Daddy. Thank you, thank you, thank you." Then he looked at him and said, "Son, by the way, what are you wanting to buy? What are you saving up your money for?" The little boy reached in his pillowcase and he pulled out 9 $1 bills and 4 quarters. He said, "Daddy, I finally have enough. I want to buy 1 hour of your time." Listen to me, men. When we stand before God, God is not going to ask us how much money we made a year. He's not going to ask us how many employees we supervised. He's not going to ask us how far up the corporate ladder we rose. This is what an almighty God is going to ask you and me. How did you care for your children? What kind of father were you? What kind of a husband were you to your wife? You see, family matters to God. It was the first thing that He created, and it's His top priority, and it should be our top priority too. Maybe you're here today and you're a single mother. Maybe you're a grandmother raising your grandchildren. Listen to me. I believe that when men fail to do what God calls them to do, that God will raise up a woman to take their place. I really believe that. He'll raise up a woman to do the job. Listen, you don't have to wait for some scrub to get his act together. You can be the spiritual leader that your children need right now. You don't need no scrubs. Come on, all you need is the Word of God. I think about Timothy. Timothy was one of the greatest leaders of the New Testament. Timothy was a mighty man of God, and the Apostle Paul recognized why Timothy was who he was. He said, it's because of the faith of your mother and your grandmother. Look at what he said, 2 Timothy 1:5. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you. Listen, ladies, you can be just as strong as any man when you've got the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon your life. Listen, of all the people in the world, there is one group of people in particular that I don't want to double cross, okay? Listen, out of all the people, there's one category of people that I do not want to make mad, and that is an Israeli soldier. Why? Because they're crazy. If you think about it, they got to be crazy. In the largest concentration of Muslims on the planet, there is a tiny Jewish nation right in the middle of it, and they're just making everybody mad. So listen, you got to be a little bit crazy to be a soldier in Israel. When my wife and I got married, somebody blessed us, and they gave us a cruise that we could go on our honeymoon. And I'll never forget, we were out there one day in the middle of this cruise having a great time, and they had a competition among all the men on board. So they asked for volunteers, and they were asking people their occupations. Sir, what do you do? I'm a doctor. Sir, what do you do? I'm a maintenance engineer. And then they got to the last guy in the list, and he said, sir, what do you do? And he said, I'm an Israeli soldier. And you could hear crickets chirping in the middle of the Caribbean Sea. The whole ship grew silent because everybody started getting nervous. Uh-oh, who's on board with us? Listen, the Israeli army is bad to the bone, and not just today, but they were even bad to the bone back in ancient times. You don't mess with Israel. Listen, God is the defender of Israel. You don't mess with them. You better get behind them and support them because they're going to win no matter what side you're on. So here's the Israeli army, and I love this. In the Bible, there was a season when Israel had no leader. And you know what God did? He raised up a woman by the name of Deborah to take that nation where it needed to go. And Deborah was so bad to the bone. Deborah was such a mighty woman of God that these big, bad Israeli soldiers came up to her and they said, Deborah, the enemy is coming, but we are scared to go unless you come with us. So here is this woman, and you know what she said? You know what? I'll go, but let the record state that the enemy was conquered by a woman. Listen, ladies, you have the power to conquer and defeat the enemy. Come on, all the ladies say, oh yeah. So listen, don't sit there and miss your destiny because you're waiting for a man to show up in your life. Let me tell you about a man. His name is Jesus Christ, and he will be all that you need. Listen, people will come and go, but Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. No matter what life brings your way, I am right beside you, and I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus is with you. I think about John Wesley, another great man of God. John Wesley grew up in a family of 10 children. And you know what? John Wesley's father was absent for the majority of his life. That means that his mother, Susanna, raised all 10 children by herself. And John Wesley said that sometimes his mother would be so frustrated, so stressed out, so exasperated that she would throw her curtain over her face and say, baby, leave me alone. I got to pray for a little while. And there she was behind her curtain, and she would get on the throne room of God and intercede and pray for her family. Listen, follow her example. Find your strength in Jesus Christ. Come on, all the ladies say, I don't need no scrub. Lord, I'm going to get a letter about that this week. But listen, the number one, the devil is waging war on the family. Number two, he's waging war on this generation. The enemy is launching an all-out assault on the children and teenagers of this generation. And let me tell you what the devil is doing to our young people. First of all, he's robbing them of their identity. Young people today have no idea who they are. Instead of finding their identity from their father and from their mother and from the church, they're getting their identity from Hollywood and the entertainment industry. Who are they finding their identity? Who are they identifying with? People like Nicki Minaj. Or should I say Nicki Garbage, who glorifies popping pills and brags about dating somebody who, and I quote, slings cocaine. This is who the young people of this generation are listening to. People like Katy Perry, who abandoned her Christian upbringing and sang the number one hit, I Kissed a Girl and I Liked It. Who are they getting their identity in? People like Jay-Z, who in his song with Kanye West entitled Monster, glorifies raping women and children. These are the people who are influencing this generation. People like the group Main Event, also known as ME, and their song Dance Like a Stripper. Listen, that is the number one song among young women in this church. Some people are getting nervous in the service this morning, but we did a survey, and this is the number one song. And listen, I want to expose the trap of the devil. Let me read you some of the lyrics of that song. It starts out by saying, I ain't got no, and I can't say that next word. It says, I'm throwed on that liquor, I'm about to hit the club and dance like a stripper. And it goes on to talk about having sex for money. Listen, this is the type of garbage that young people are listening to today, and it's no wonder that they don't know who they are. I'm going to tell it like it is this morning. I thank God that when I was a teenager, I had a pastor who loved me enough to look me in the eyes and say, Josh, garbage in, garbage out. You put worldly in, you're going to get worldly things out of your life. I know young people might not like this, but the Bible says that it's better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. Listen, you better know what your kids are listening to, because it will have an impact on them. There's a war going on, and the devil is using anything he can. Music, TV, video games, you name it. He's even using our public school systems. We're sending our children to school, and the public schools are teaching them that you're nothing more than a byproduct of evolution. Your life is nothing but a cosmic accident, and therefore your life has no purpose and it has no meaning. Public schools used to lead children in prayer, and today instead of teaching them the Bible, they're handing out condoms to 14-year-olds paid for by our tax dollars given in a grant to Planned Parenthood. I thank God that there's some Christians at the State General Assembly who stood up and said, enough is enough, we're not going to fund that. Our children are being robbed of their identity. No other generation in American history has hated themselves as much as young people do today. Listen, I'm not that old, but when I grew up, I never heard of anybody cutting. I never heard of anybody cutting, yet young people today are cutting themselves. They're abusing themselves and they're mutilating themselves and in staggering numbers. The number of emergency room cases by teens who injure themselves has doubled in the past 3 years. Teenagers are hurting themselves on the outside because they're hurting on the inside. There are two examples that I know of in the Bible where people cut themselves. And number one, the prophets of Baal that confronted Elijah on the mountain, the Bible says that they cut themselves. Who else cut themselves in the Bible? The demoniac of Gadara, who lived among the tombs. The Bible says that he would cut himself with stones. Every example of cutting in the Bible was when somebody was being tormented by the enemy or under the influence of demonic powers. Now listen to me, I'm not telling you that if your child is cutting themselves that they're demon-possessed, but this is what I am telling you. If your child is hurting themselves, it's because they're listening to the lies that the enemy is telling them and they're being tormented by the devil. and we need to love them, we need to have compassion on them, and we need to help them find healing. Not only is the devil robbing this generation of their identity, but he's robbing them of their innocence. My wife is our children's pastor. Listen, the things that she was counseling 17-year-olds 5 years ago, she's counseling 10-year-olds about today. The children are being robbed of their innocence. They're being exposed to things that children have no business being a part of. The music, the TV shows, the godless lives of celebrities, our children are being robbed of their innocence. Not only that, but we live in a culture that's addicted to violence. Dr. Everett Koop, former Surgeon General of the United States, said that violence has become an epidemic in our nation. It's become a public health issue like smallpox and tuberculosis were in previous generations. Just like other diseases that had to be eradicated, violence has reached epidemic proportions and must be dealt with. When U.S. culture is compared to Western Europe and countries like Canada, Japan, Australia, and New Zealand, U.S. culture is up to 20 times more violent than every other developed nation. Just like the ancient Romans, we are a culture obsessed with violence. By the time a child reaches the age of 18, they will have witnessed 200,000 acts of violence and more than 16,000 murders on TV and in the movies. Studies show that Saturday morning cartoons are now more violent than primetime television. Primetime programming has 3 to 5 acts of violence in a 1-hour segment, but Saturday morning cartoons have between 20 and 25 acts of violence in that same time frame. And children under the age of 8 years old are more susceptible to violence than any other age group. Nearly 75% of the violence on TV shows absolutely no consequences for those who commit violent acts. No consequences whatsoever. That's what TV is teaching. But let me tell you what the Bible teaches. The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Video games today are teaching children how to make a sport of killing people. The video Grand Theft Auto was banned in Australia, but in the United States, it brought in more than $300 million in sales. And that's mild compared to video games today. Our culture is constantly feeding violent images to our children, and yet we act surprised when they go out and commit acts of violence. Never before have we seen so much violence from young people. We began to see a sharp rise in the 90s. In the 1990s, there were 48 school shootings, resulting in 85 deaths. Since the year 2000, there have been 145 school shootings, resulting in more than 200 deaths. And the majority of those have happened in the last 5 years. 10 of them happened in North Carolina, and 2 of them happened right here in our city in Goldsboro. Violence and murder among teens is on the rise. Why? Because there's a war going on. The devil has lied to this generation and he said, God isn't real. He's lied to them and said, nobody loves you. He's lied to them and said, your life has no meaning. He's lied to them and said, there's no way out. And we wonder why they're killing each other and killing themselves. This generation is an angry generation. They're angry because they feel irrelevant. They're angry because they feel insignificant. They're angry because they feel unloved. And what are they doing instead of getting help? They're going out and taking matters into their own hands. Nobody cares about me. Nobody loves me. People treat me wrong. People hate me, and I'll make them pay for what they've done. Young people today are carrying around bitterness and hatred, and is eating away at the inside of them. And what they don't know and what they need to know is that God wants to take that burden off of them. Hebrews 10:30, the Bible declares that vengeance is mine, I will repay, declares the Lord. Listen, God says that vengeance belongs to Him. Revenge is not our job. It's not our duty. It's not our responsibility. God says that we are to forgive people and let God deal with them. Listen, the human heart is not designed to handle vengeance. We're just not capable of doing it. Listen, did you know that if a honeybee stings somebody, that bee will die? Why? Because the honeybee is not designed to sting people, and we are the same way. We are not designed to take out vengeance on people. We're not designed to hurt people who hurt us. Why? Because we end up hurting ourselves even more. I love what Nelson Mandela said. He said, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die from it. This generation is hurting, they're frustrated, they're angry, and the devil is feeding them lie after lie after lie. How many of you have heard of the movie God's Not Dead? Several years ago, I had the chance to meet Pastor Rice Brooks, who wrote the book that the movie was based on, and Pastor Brooks met with myself and a group of college students, and he shared a disturbing story with us. He said, guys, I was at the University of Paris, and I was ministering over there. And he said, on the way to the university, I was standing in the subway, and all of a sudden, I got chills up and down my spine, and I heard a voice say, throw yourself in front of the train. And he said, I was so shaken up by that voice that when I went to that campus meeting that night, I asked them, how many of you have ever been in that subway station and you've heard a voice tell you to throw yourself in front of that train? He said he nearly fell to his knees when every hand in the room went up. 300 to 400 college students say, I've heard that voice too. Listen to me, the devil is getting his message out to this generation. The devil is talking and he's loud and clear. And he's constantly speaking to our young people. There are children living in our homes and attending our churches and populating our schools who are driven daily by destructive thoughts put there by demon spirits. The devil's out there and he's telling them lies, and I want to know where the Christians are. Come on, the devil's lying to them, but who will tell them the truth? The devil's getting his propaganda out, but where are the men and women who will go on behalf of the Lord and tell them the truth of God's love? The devil's telling them, you don't matter. Nobody loves you. You're worthless. Listen, this generation needs you. This generation needs to hear your voice telling them, God loves you and I love you. You're valuable to God. You're valuable to me. Your life means something to God and it means something to me. That leads me to my final point this morning. Number one, he's waging war on the family. Number two, he's waging war on this generation. Number three, he's waging war on the church. He's waging war on the church. How is the devil assaulting the church? Let me tell you how. Through compromise and complacency. There's too much compromise in the body of Christ today. We're scared to call sin sin anymore. Listen, right has been wrong for so long in our culture that righteousness has become the abnormal thing. The values that we used to embrace are now labeled as old-fashioned, outdated, and judgmental. What we call a weakness, God calls wickedness. What we call a dysfunctional home, God calls a generational curse. And it's time for us to stand up and tell the world that there is a better way and that there is hope in Jesus Christ. Listen, there are two sides to this war. There are two opposing kingdoms, one of darkness and one of light, one of sin and one of righteousness, and I'm tired of seeing the church playing somewhere in the middle. God is calling his people to come out from the world and be separate and to be holy and to stand up for what's right. If we're going to make a difference in this culture and we're going to reach this generation, we cannot continue to go along with the status quo. We've got to stand for truth and righteousness. If we don't, who will? Come on, tell somebody there's a war going on. The devil is fighting, but where is the church? Listen, we are in the army of God. We are in the army of God. And let me tell you something about the army of God. There are no reservists in the army of God. There are no weekend warriors in the army of God. There is only one status and one status alone, and that is active duty. Jesus said in Matthew 12:30, anybody who isn't working with me is working against me. If you are not actively working in the kingdom of God, you are actively working against the kingdom of God. There's a war going on, and there is no neutral territory in this fight. Either you're active in the army of God, or you're aiding and abetting the enemy. I think about Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great was one of the greatest military leaders that ever lived. Alexander the Great conquered the known world. Alexander the Great is the reason that the New Testament is written in Greek instead of Hebrew. Why? Because he conquered the Holy Land and he established the common language as Greek. He was just a brilliant military mind. And one night during a military campaign, Alexander the Great couldn't go to sleep. He was restless, so he got up in the middle of the night and he began to walk around the camp. And he decided that he was going to inspect the troops. And as he began his rounds, he came upon a young soldier who had fallen asleep on his post as a guard. And this was a very serious offense. In fact, this was punishable by death. And Alexander the Great walked up to him and kicked him. And when he opened his eyes, he jumped up and he immediately began to fear for his life. Alexander the Great looked at him and he said, "Soldier, do you understand the penalty for falling asleep on duty?" He said, "Yes, sir, I do." He said, "Soldier, tell me your name." And he said, "My name is Alexander, sir." The general said, "Wait a minute, no, no, no. Tell me your name. What is your name?" He said, "Sir, my name is Alexander." And in that moment, the general looked at him and said, "Soldier, either change your conduct or change your name." Listen, when we say that we are a Christian, we're telling everybody that we're in the army of God and that we are on active duty for the service of Jesus Christ. And if you are not serving God, either change your conduct or change your name. The Bible says, "Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober." It's time for the people of God to wake up. What's missing in this generation? The church is missing in this generation. People aren't praying like they used to pray. People aren't staying in the Word of God like they used to. People aren't tithing like they used to. People aren't showing up for church on Sunday morning like they used to. I was preaching good till I said that. Listen, I don't understand it. The devil is showing up everywhere. The devil's showing up at your job. The devil's showing up at your house. He's showing up at your children's school. He's showing up in this community. But why aren't the people of God showing up at the house of God? Listen, there's a war going on. And the Bible says that in the last days, it is even more important that we come together than ever before. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Look, I'm not here to entertain you on Sunday mornings. I love to laugh and I love to have a good time. And the Bible says that laughter is good for you. It does you good like medicine. But my number one job, my number one priority on Sunday mornings is to teach you the Word of God, to equip you and train you to go out and fight the good fight of faith. Listen, the church is not a social club. The church is a muster station. This is where we rally together to get ready and to go out and fight the forces of darkness. In case you haven't noticed, there's a war going on and people's lives are in the balance. This generation is dying and it's up to us to save them. And yes, the devil is wreaking havoc. Yes, the devil is trying to destroy the family and he's trying to destroy this generation. But Jesus said that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Listen, you don't understand the power that you have in the name of Jesus. Listen, there is so much power on your life because of the blood of Jesus Christ that you, when you walk into a place, your very presence is the devil's eviction notice. Your very presence as a child of God sends the devil running the other way. The Bible says that just one believer sanctifies an entire house. Some of y'all need to think about that a little bit more. You have power in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The Bible says in Deuteronomy that the Lord will cause the enemies who come against you. They come at you one way, they're going to go fleeing seven ways. The Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Jesus said, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." We have tremendous authority as the body of Christ, and I want to know why we're not walking in that authority. Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And it's high time for the people of God to stand up and say, "I bind the power of the devil over my city. I bind the spirit of suicide. I bind the spirit of violence. I bind the spirit of murder. I bind the lies of the enemy that are stealing and robbing this generation. And I loose the souls of men and women of God in my community in Jesus' name." It's time that we stand up and take the authority that Jesus gave us. We don't need legislative reform. We need a revival. We don't need another politician. We need power from on high. We don't need a clever marketing campaign. We need a move of God in our city. And it's time for the church to take authority. It's time for the church to pray. It's time for the church to act, because God is calling His people to stand up to active duty for His kingdom. Listen, if you want to make a difference in this generation, it's time to stand up and act. If you want to reach this generation, if you want to save these young people who are dying, who are being destroyed by the enemy, now's the time to wake up and do service for Jesus. Listen, God has given me a vision, and He's really began to clarify it in the last several months, a vision of going out into our community and going into the neighborhoods where these teenagers live and into the neighborhoods where these children live, of going where they are and reaching them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I'm a firm believer in what Jesus said. He said, "If you'll be faithful over what you have, then I'll make you Lord over many." Listen, here we are today, and we have children in this church who are in this building right now who come through these doors every single Sunday, and they're hurting, they're in pain, they're in agony, they're suffering. We have children in this church, three young children who lost their mother this last Christmas. We have a young lady who has lost her entire family. We have children in this church who are going hungry, who are living in an abusive home. And what are we doing about it? What are we doing about it? We have many ushers, we have many greeters, we have many singers and many musicians, but what we don't have enough of is children's workers. Sometimes we have the same people serving every single Sunday because they need help. So I'm asking you this morning, stand up. God is calling you to active duty. If you want to reach this generation, start right here. Start right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Listen, teenagers shouldn't have to wait till they're thrown in jail before somebody from the church takes interest in them. They shouldn't have to wait till they hit rock bottom before somebody shares the love of God with them. There are opportunities right now. Every Sunday morning at 10:30, we have children come in here and we feed them a hot breakfast. That is a great time for some of you to go in there and learn their name and tell them your name and tell them that God loves them. Listen, many of these children don't have a father figure in the home. I'm looking for some men of God who will go in there on Sunday mornings at 10:30, just 30 minutes before service, and invest in them and love them and tell them that they are somebody and that they can be somebody and that they can do anything through Christ who gives them strength. Many of these children don't have a mother figure in their life. I'm looking for some women of God who will love them and be a mother to them and nurture them and pray over them and speak life over them. God is calling us to active duty, and it starts right here and it starts right now. God is calling us to action. Hallelujah. In our final moments, I want to ask Victoria if you'll come. Listen, there's a war going on, but what side are you on today? There's a war going on, and there's only one winning side, but what I want to know in your life, what I want to know from you is, are you on the winning side today? The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 that everyone born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. You're here this morning. Listen, like I said, there's no neutral ground. Every one of us, we are part of this war. Whether you like it or not, you are involved on this war and you're one side or the other. So I want to ask you the question that matters most this morning. Whose side are you on today? Whose side are you on? When God sent Joshua and the people of Israel into the promised land, before they went in to take the land, before they went into the battle, the Bible says that Joshua in the middle of the night was approached by a man holding a sword. And Joshua said, "Are you on my side? Are you on their side?" And unbeknownst to him, it was an angel of the Lord. And the angel put a question back to him. He said, "It's not about if I'm on your side. Are you on God's side?" And that's what I'm asking you this morning. Are you on God's side today? Jesus said, if you're not working with me, you're working against me. If you're not following me, you're not part of my kingdom. You have a decision to make today. Will you give your life to Jesus Christ? Listen, I am a recruitment officer from heaven this morning, and we are looking for some men and women to join the army of God. And I want to ask you this morning, will you join the army of God? Will you give your life to Jesus Christ? Will you be free from the power of the devil? Will you join the winning team today? How do I follow Jesus? It's very simple this morning. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. The wonderful thing about the love of God is that it's not something you earn. It's not something you deserve. It's not something you work for. The Bible makes it very clear that all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. That means not me, not you, not anybody else on this planet. In our own right, did we ever deserve the love of God? But God gives it to us anyway. It's the gift of God. Some of you are here today and you're struggling with the things that I've talked about this morning. Listen, you don't have to struggle anymore. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." If you will close your eyes this morning, I want to just lead you in a simple prayer today. If you're here today and you say, "Pastor, I want to join the army of God," will you just wave your hand? I want to pray for you this morning. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. You can put those down, hands down this morning. If you're here and you want to join the army of God, I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer to help you make that decision. And I want you to pray this prayer after me. In fact, let's all pray it together. Dear Jesus, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. Lord, I've messed up. I've failed you. I've done some things I'm not proud of. But I come before you today just as I am, asking you to have mercy on me. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Jesus, be the Lord of my life. And with your help, I'll live for you. I'll fight for your army all of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. If you prayed that prayer, you've made the greatest decision of your lifetime. The Bible says that angels are celebrating. They're throwing a party in heaven, rejoicing because you made that decision today. And listen, it doesn't end here. It begins here. Today is the beginning of a brand new life for you. The Bible says if anybody's in Christ, they're a new creation. That means that your past is gone and that your future is bright in God. As our prayer team makes their way forward this morning, I want to ask everybody if you'll stand with me. I want us to make a declaration this morning before we leave. If you're here today and you need prayer for any reason, we have a group of men and women who are gathered across the front, and they're available to pray for you. Any need whatsoever, they want to pray with you before you leave. But before I invite you to come forward, let's close in prayer together. In fact, before we pray, let's make a declaration. Are you ready this morning? Come on, just loosen up a little bit. We're going to make the devil mad, okay? We're going to fire some missiles into enemy territory. Are you ready this morning? Come on, repeat after me. Devil, I'm through with you. Devil, I don't belong to you anymore. You have been defeated by Jesus Christ. You are no longer in charge of my life. I don't live for you. I live for Jesus. I belong to Him. I am His and He is mine. Come on, say this out loud. I am a Christian. I am a child of God. I have been forgiven. I have been set free. And I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. Now celebrate that this morning. Hallelujah. Let's pray today. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, that in the middle of a hurting, dying world, you've established an army of God. You've established an army of God to wage war on the enemy, to liberate the captives, to bring healing and salvation and deliverance. And Father, I pray over your troops this morning, over every man of God and every woman of God gathered in this room. Lord, may they walk out of these doors today, Lord, walking in the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit. God, may they walk out of these rooms today waving the blood-stained banner of Jesus Christ. God, may every one of them go out into enemy territory and wreak havoc on the devil this week. May they share the love of Jesus. May they share the love of God. May they be a light to the world around them. And Father, I thank you for raising up an army of God, an army of believers that cannot and will not be defeated. And Father, may we never forget who we are in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you and give you praise and glory and honor. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Guys, I love you. God bless you. Have a great week. If you need prayer, our prayer team is available now.